Loved, cherished, comforted. Welcome to the podcast ministry of Our Resolute Hope, where you will find grace, not just a concept or a doctrine of grace, but a person whose name is Jesus, a person who brings hope, a determined, resolute hope that can sustain you and empower you to live courageously in this fallen world. Join us now as we learn more about Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our life.
Beloved, welcome back to the Our Resolute Hope podcast. John Russin here, serving as a host, so to speak, here with my dear friend, Pastor Frank Friedman, just back from Colorado. How are you, friend?
Well, it's a beautiful day here, and God continues to prove himself to us, oftentimes in spite of us.
Oh, that's right. Boy, in spite of us, that's really true. Friends, if you joined us for the first time, you've caught Frank and me in the middle of a series that we're really calling The Believer's Identity, in which we've been talking about all the different aspects of who our Father created us in Christ to be. We've talked about the fact that we're saints, holy ones, sanctified, slaves, servants. Last time, Frank, you recall, we talked about being a child of God. And I want to segue off that this week and take the next step, because I want to talk about the fact that Scripture calls us sons. Now, I want to give a disclaimer right now for those who might be wondering. When Scripture says sons, it's not only describing males versus females. It's describing a position. It's a comprehensive term that really wraps up all of God's children, that emphasizes the fact that they have a standing as full adults with all the rights and privileges and responsibilities that go with that. So I wanted to get that right up front, Frank, because sons means a whole lot more than just a boy child, isn't it? It's an empowering, it's a presence, it's an authority, it's an enriching word that describes who Father created us to be, more than just children, but mature people in his kingdom.
Yeah, I am so glad you brought that up, John. In fact, I have a feeling where you're going to go, but this is good to introduce this here. Child of God refers to source, and we are sourced in God, and we got into the family of God as our children got into our own family by birth. But there is another term out there that says we've been adopted. And in our English, we instantly think of somebody outside of our blood family that we adopted into our family. But that is American thinking. That is not biblical thinking. Adoption is not stating to us how we got into the family of God. It's stating, as you said, the reality of what it means to be a child of God. It's a position. It's an authority. It's a privilege. In other words, when you got born again into the family of God, you got adopted, I hate that term, placed into that family, if you will, as a full legal child with all the rights and privileges of that having been given to you under authority by God himself. I hope that made sense. Maybe you can simplify it.
Well, it does. And at least to me, but our minds run along similar tracks. When you talk about the rights and privileges and responsibilities, I want to take that a step further, that not only does he place us into his family as full sons, but we're heirs too. And we'll get to that phrase later on, maybe later on today, maybe next time. I don't know how far we'll get. But basically, when he adopts us, everything our Father has is now ours. Every resource he has is available for us to use, not according to our own discretion to satisfy our fleshly desires, but to work his ministry, to advance his kingdom. Every resource we need, will be there. And so when I think of sons and heirs, I think, wow, I've got the resources of the creator of the universe whenever I need them. I tell you, man, that's pretty empowering to think like that, isn't it?
It really is, John. It provides you with not only the provision of God, but in a very real way, an authority from God. It's legal. It's binding. It cannot be revoked. He is the king, and you and the ladies out there, we are the princes and princesses. We are in the line of kingly reign. It's huge. And this is a very important distinction, John, because it says we are born again into the family, birthed into the family, but then it says we're adopted. And it confuses people. They say, well, was I birthed or was I adopted? Well, no. You were birthed into the family. That's the only way you come into the family. But you also got adopted. And that means you were placed in a certain realm within the family. And that's, I think, where you want to go today.
Oh, yeah. You can read my mind, Pastor Friedman. I need to block it off a little better. Look, I want to jump in our conversation today. And I want to start with a two-verse passage from Galatians chapter 3. Reads like this. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So begin to pick that apart, Frank. Let's talk about put on Christ. You know, you and I, not too long ago, completed what I call a conversational commentary on the book of Galatians. And in this passage, we did our reference, we did our homework, and we found that during the Roman Empire times, freeborn children were distinguished by a robe that was trimmed with purple. So as you look through the crowd, when you saw that purple stripe, ah, there's a child. But when that child became an adult, their father gave them a change of clothing. They took off that robe with the purple stripe, and they gave them a white robe of adulthood. They called it the toga virilis, and I love that word virile because it implies strength and power and authority. And by placing that robe on that child, the childhood ceased, and they became full adult Roman citizens, complete with all rights, all privileges, and lest we not forget this, Frank, all responsibilities, all the imperatives of being a full citizen. And this is kind of a picture of us as God's children, what he's done with us too, isn't it, Frank?
Oh, John, that is an amazing picture. I'm not so sure a lot of people out there really understand it. And so I'm really glad you've highlighted this and brought it up. There is a difference between a child of God and a son of God in this sense. You're birthed into the family as a little kid. And little kids live dependently on their father. That never changes. It should be that way for the rest of your life. It's not like in our culture where a little kid matures, becomes an adult, leaves the father and mother and goes his own way. No. That doesn't happen. We are to live for the rest of our lives in dependence on our father. However, when we got birthed into the family, we got birthed with adult status.
Yes.
We don't have to seek anything else. We have been granted princeship, royalty, authority, power, strength, mercy, joy, peace, an established relationship with the King of all kings in intimacy. And so it's a crazy thing, John. It would almost be like you and I going to the maternity ward. There's this child birth to us, and they're 18 years old saying, hi, Dad. You know what I mean? It's a hard concept to lay hold of. One is a term of function, always dependent like a child. But the other is a term of legal right. and provision. And we're adults in the kingdom the moment we got born again. We can't get any more because we have God and we've been given all of God. We are partakers of the divine nature, and our spirit is in union with His. And there's nothing more to seek, nothing more to gain. It's weird. We're adult children, or we're child adults. It's a difficult concept, but it can be grasped. It needs to be grasped, because that's how we'll live powerfully and radically in this world, if we can lay hold of that fact.
That's right. When I think about this toga that we talked about, the toga virilis, that's all white, we could imagine that when we turn 18, 21, or whatever the age is, we become adults. We don't look any different. We dress the same. But in that time, that new toga, that new robe, was a visual reminder that, hey, I am not a child anymore. I am an adult. And so while at times, Frank, I might be tempted to act like a child and run my own way and walk in the flesh and forget about the spirit, this robe is a constant reminder to me that, hey, that's not who I am. So I look at that robe, Frank, as really reminding me not only of how I am to behave, but it's a picture to me of why I am to behave differently, because my old sinful nature, the old John, was crucified. And I now am clothed in Christ. In fact, that's what that verse says. You have put on Christ. That old robe is gone. The old sinful nature is gone. The old man is dead, Romans 6. And the Lord Jesus Christ is now our identity. And so as I walk through life, or back then as I walk through the Roman court, I would want everybody to see that I am now an adult child, and I would behave in such a way that would honor the fact that I am now an adult, and would honor my Father for seeing me worthy to receive that standing. So it's interesting, because to me, it's a reminder, you know, hey, not to act the way I used to act before I was a son.
Wow. Yeah, I'm listening to you, and I'm just trying to think of a way to say this, John, in a phrase that stays in the mind. Because I've been placed in the family of God as an adult, I can make the rational, reasonable choice to function as a child with my God and live dependently on Him. That's maybe the way I'd sum it up. Mm-hmm. Does that click? Does that help you think?
Well, it kind of does. I guess from my thinking, I was looking at more of a perpetual reminder of who I am.
Yeah.
So I would choose to walk consistent with who Father has recreated me to be.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess the only way to really do that is to live from Him.
That's right.
Yeah, both and.
No, because we're sons, we are now empowered to live that way.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're sons is a constant reminder of who we are now in Christ. We've talked about responsibilities and privileges and rights that come with being a son. But even those of us who have walked as sons for many years, Frank, we still struggle. And so not only does this Father give us that reminder, but He places an internal reminder in union with our spirits, His Holy Spirit. And verse 6 in Galatians 4 says, because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. And I look at that and I say, well, my Father already knows that I am prone to wander, as the old hymn goes. And so I need a reminder. And so that reminder is the indwelling Holy Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. And I want to talk about Abba, Father. But first, I want to talk about that word cries. That reminder is not a subtle reminder. That's the Greek verb kratzo. And it really means to cry out, to scream, to yell. Tell us why that's there, Frank, and why we need the reminder.
Well, John, it's such a foreign concept. Throughout the history of man, ever since the fall, God was viewed as far off. And therefore, there was a lot of ignorance because there was no revelation of who God was. And so pagan people would create a god in the shape of a bull or a snake, as many different animals as you want to choose, and they would make that their god. Israel was given clear revelation of who God was, but even in Israel, there was a veil. He was separated because of sin. And so there was always this idea that God is far away. And even with the revelation of Holy Spirit-inspired scripture, those names of God, Elohim, mighty God, Adonai, great and powerful God, Yahweh, the covenant name, but you didn't even dare speak that name. When you read Yahweh, you would say Adonai. And Jesus showed up, and he is the child, as we talked about last time, the supreme child in a kingdom of children that God was establishing. And he scandalized the religious world, calling God Abba, that Aramaic gibberish word of a toddler. When daddy came home, Abba, 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 and he was saying, this is my God. And that's so foreign to us as humanity that the Holy Spirit uses this word kratzo. It's almost like he's firmly gripping us and saying, do you understand that God is your Abba through the finished work of Christ? It's almost like he has to do that, John, to break through all of the pre-programming so that we can unlearn the God that was created in our imagination through ignorance.
As I think about that word, Frank, I think of it as you said, a constant reminder of the fact that God is our daddy. When I think about that word, Abba, it's a word of intimacy. It's a cry of the heart. Like a young child running out the front door when daddy comes home from work. Abba describes a person who loves us and is proud of us just because we're his. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to share his life with us. He wants us to make us feel important, Frank. He picks us up when we fall, dusts us off, and treats us like we never even fell. And I think of Luke 15, the prodigal father. He has compassion on us. He runs to us. He falls on our neck. He kisses us even after our worst failure. But there's another aspect, Frank, that Abba impressed upon me. And we see the Savior use that word too. Mark 14, as he was alone in Gethsemane praying, and he asked Father if there's another way to redeem mankind. And he used that term of intimacy. So there he slips down into, as we said last time, a situation where, I don't understand this, sir, but I trust you. And I love the way the NLT captures Luke chapter 22. He says, I want your will to be done, not mine. And so in addition to the childlike expression of Abba, I see another meaning, Frank. And it's sort of like this, if you want to sort of capture what Jesus was saying in the garden. Father, because I love you, I respect you, and I trust you fully, I choose to be obedient. I might not understand this completely, but I submit myself to you because you are my Abba, and you will always take care of me. So what an amazing combination of thoughts wrapped up in that one single Aramaic word. Epistle to the Galatians contains thousands of Greek words, but only one in Aramaic, and it is absolutely rich, isn't it?
Yeah, John, it's almost like the Holy Spirit, you know, he could have done a Greek word, but he did the Aramaic to make it leap off the page. It's almost like you're reading along in Galatians 4, and you would expect in the Greek, God is my pater, you know, or something. Yeah. God is my father. But it says, God is your Abba. What? What's that doing there? It's designed to make you stop and think because it's so stunning. And you know, John, I think as I was listening to you, I think one of the most wonderful aspects of Abba is the complete and total absence of fear.
Ooh, that's a good thought, Pastor.
You know, when the dad comes home and that little kid, if there was any fear in that little kid of his dad, he wouldn't be running up to him going, Abba, Abba, Abba. That's huge.
Yeah. And no matter what happened to that little child, Abba can make it better.
There you
A
go.
kiss, a hug, a pat on the head. He can handle anything that little child brings to him. Wow. All right, my friend, powerful time today. Wrap us up, if you will, please.
Well, John, thank you. Maybe we'll do it in an applicational way. Can you ponder what the world would be like if everyone responded to God that way and became like little kids, trusting Him to be their everything? John, in the Garden of Eden, Adam declared, I'm going to be an adult with God. And when you're an adult with God, you forfeit all that God longs to be to you. And you will end up acting like a child, like a spoiled little brat. My way, my toys, my plans. And when you look at the world, John, it's really a gigantic nursery full of a bunch of screaming babies who are all acting so childish because they're functioning in an adult relationship with God. What if we would all become children with God and find for every one of us that He meets our needs and provides us with Himself, then living completely full and satisfied and content, we could start to act as adults with each other and form a community of love and respect and honor. We're only going to be adult with each other when we're first childlike with God. But if we're adult with God, we're going to be very childish with each other. And all you got to do is turn on the 6 o'clock news and you can verify that is true.
Oh, well said, my friend. And I think you and I can both confirm that we have lived on both ends of that spectrum. And being a child with our Father is a much better way to go. Friends, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Our Resolute Hope podcast. We invite you to check out our website. You'll find us at OurResoluteHope.com. And you'll encounter there a lot more resources along this very same line. You know, Frank and I really have only one agenda, and that is to help point you to Jesus Christ, because there you will find all you need, because He is your Papa, your Abba, and you are His child. And it's only when you function as His child can you really step into the role of His son. Stay a while on our website. We invite you to sign up for our newsletter. There's a place where you can reach out to us, send us an email. Frank looks at those routinely. He'll respond back promptly. And of course, follow us on all of our social media platforms. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, on our YouTube channel. And of course, wherever you happen to be hearing your favorite podcast, which hopefully will be us. And as always, we close with the very same reminder from Hebrews chapter 6, that no matter what you're facing, how much you're struggling, that the world is not a nightmare. There's an anchor, a hope for your souls. Peter calls it a living hope. Frank and I call it a resolute hope. So today and always, choose that hope and choose Jesus.
Thanks for listening. We trust that you've seen Jesus today. And you know that no matter what you're facing, He offers you Himself, His own life. He wants to live His life with you, in you, and through you as you trust Him and walk by faith in this troubled world. You've been listening to Our Resolute Hope podcast. For more information, find us online at OurResoluteHope.com and check out our social media channels under the name Our Resolute Hope.